Good morning, church. It's wonderful to have all of you here on-site and online with us this Sunday. And for those of you joining us online, all right, the first thing I'm going to ask to do right is please click the subscribe button, okay, at the bottom here. And don't forget to click the bell button, all right? We are almost reaching our 100 subscribers. And you know what that means? I didn't know about this until very lately, right? That once we have hit 100 subscribers, right, new functions, we'll be able to properly launch our YouTube channel with more functions given to us, more options available to us for our live stream. So if you have not done so, even for those on-site, right, if you have not done so, take out your phone, go to YouTube, and then click subscribe. Thank you very much. And so we are into this sermon series, A Better Normal. And today, we'll be talking about, Pauline will be bringing us through, right, the topic of something worth dying for. And it's really like, sometimes this church is really, you work so hard, right, it's something worth dying for, for us. So later, I will do the call for volunteers later. But as we are, you know, this is my signature, right? I try to crack up some jokes. So, however, something more serious, we are entering into our worship segment. And before we allow the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes to examine what God is calling us to die for in our life, as we worship, let us enter into this mystery of God's love, remembering that God died for us. We are what was worth dying for. And so let us prepare our hearts and enter into this sacred space by responding to the call to worship. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us lift up our hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is a good and joyful thing to give God thanks and praise. Holy God, we come together as your people, searching for sacred space, longing to be cherished, craving real connection. In this time of worship, let thankfulness sink deep and joy spring up. We lift our hearts and minds to the God of our creation, for we are wholly yours, now and forever. Amen.
For those of you who are joining us, maybe you are on Teams, if your quality of the worship drops or disrupted, please go to AK. Now our short link has changed. It's fcc.la/fcclive. It will point you directly to our YouTube channel. Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord's house to offer Him our praise and our worship.
I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me. Me.
I could hold on. I could hold on. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe, I could be safe, I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home. Never let these walls down, but you have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead me, Lord.
You have called me higher.
You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. But you have called me. But you have called me higher. And I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead me, Lord.
You have called me higher.
Oh, higher. And I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead me. You'll lead me, Lord. You'll lead me. For all my life, I will be yours. I will be yours for all my life. I will be yours. I will be yours for all my life. So let your mercy.
You have called me higher.
Oh, higher.
You have called me deeper.
Good morning. Will you all join me in a time of prayer? God, we come to you in this time, each of us in different situations, some of us facing uncertainty, some of us dealing with grief, some of us celebrating successes in life, and we come together to open our hearts, our minds, our soul to you, God, our Creator. Today we want to pray for leadership. We give thanks for the planning meeting that we had yesterday with the board and council to plan, to look back at this year and to plan for 2021. We give thanks for all the servant leaders in this church who give of their time, their resources, and their love poured out because of your love for each one of us. We give thanks for the oneness in mind and heart, for what we seek to do, and all the way you guiding us. But God, leadership isn't just for the leaders, because each of us, in different aspects of our lives, we too can lead. We want to pray for each person seeing our role in the unfolding of your justice, your love, and your peace in this world. Our role. In this time where violence rages, there are leaders who take advantage of the chaos, take advantage of the pain, of the violence, to further their own agenda. To take advantage of others, to make political moves, and to fan the flames of extremism. God, may we be the ones to stand up and speak out, to build bridges instead of walls, to relate to people who are different from us. We are the queer church. Queer not just in terms of sexual identity, but queer in seeing that all the categories that we find ourselves in, whether it's race, nationality, socioeconomic class, all these things don't matter, because we are one human family and you are our God. So may we break down all these boundaries by being leaders ourselves in humility, bring peace. Speak out when people generalize. All these people are like that. And say that's not true. Because that's our experience too. Because we are all different. God, we lift up that hope that we can be the change in the world. The violence in France, where terrorists, and I'll call them terrorists, they do not deserve to be called Muslims. They do not belong to a religion. They seek to destroy what peace that we can bring on this earth. So God, lead us a different way to chart out a path for all of humanity to be in relation with one another in love and care for each other as you have commanded us to love our neighbors. And they, everyone is our neighbor. Finally, we pray for the leadership of the U.S. because what the outcome of the elections will have impact on every single one of us in this interconnected global world. We pray for wisdom, and we pray that no matter what the outcome will be, that there will be peace and not violence, and there will be hope for all the world. We lift up all the prayers in our hearts, prayers for our families, our friends, our loved ones, and prayers that we cannot even form words to express, but God, you know them. All the things that we struggle with, the shadows, the fears, we lift them up to you. God of love and light. Amen. Thank you.
After the pride, after the fall, the hands of mercy opened wide. After the rain, after the flood, you set your promise in the sky. The God who was and is to come has been the same for me.
It amazes me. You're still running after us.
Good morning. Whether you're joining us here physically on site, whether you're joining us online, I wanted to say welcome home. Indeed, God is constant, constant in God's love for us. And so today, as we enter into the time, as we look into God's Word together, I wanted to invite you to get on menti.com with us. So whether you're here on-site or whether you're online, we can all join into this activity together. It's a way for us to engage in this process, because it's not just about what I have to say, really. It's much more about what God wants to say to each one of us, and perhaps also what you contribute and your input and your thoughts in the process as well. So if you join us on menti.com, you can go into the code 9019900, okay? 9019900. Great. So we continue on our series, A Better Normal, Something Worth Dying For. You know, this pandemic this year and various events, even in the recent months, have highlighted how uncertain and unpredictable life is. We don't know when we might die, you know, and I think this year it really highlighted that. And so I don't know if any of you felt like, wow, you know, this topic, looking at the title, it's a little bit heavy going, right? Something worth dying for. I mean, what's Pauline going to talk about, right? But I feel like even though it's hard to talk about life and death, that this year, God has highlighted that right in front of our eyes. Because in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of all that's happening to us around the world, we have come face to face with the risk of death and the reminder that life is short and it's unpredictable and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know when we might die. We don't know if we might catch the virus someday. And if we do catch the virus, we don't know how our bodies will react to it, right? We have some people who are asymptomatic. It doesn't affect them at all. They ride through it and they're good. And then we hear of some who are gasping for breath in the ICU. And we don't know, right? And I'm thankful for life and for every breath I get to take. And so during this short time we have on earth, however long or short it might be, I wonder if you've found something worth living for. Have you found something worth living for? And on a deeper level, I wonder if you've found something worth dying for. You know, I think about Jesus, and I wonder what he found that was worth living and dying for. And perhaps this morning there's something we can learn from him as we try to live more intentional and meaningful lives. And as I was thinking about this, this verse kept coming back to me. It's this verse in John 10:10, when Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And so my first question for you this morning is, what do you think Jesus meant by an abundant life? What is an abundant life? You know, what phrase or word comes to your mind when you think an abundant life? Yes, that's what it is. Okay, so just kind of type it in, all right, and then we'll see what different ones of us have, right, when we think about what Jesus means by abundant life. Wonderful, right? We have people said fulfilled, freedom, meaningful, absolute purpose, wow, purpose-driven, okay, wonderful. Providence, joyful, thriving, yes, fruitful, wholeness, fantastic. So many, alignment with God, excellent, fantastic. And fulfilled is one of the bigger ones, right? A fulfilling life. And perhaps that's what Jesus means by abundant life, a meaningful one, a purposeful one. You know, throughout the gospel, Jesus claimed to provide the critical elements we need for an abundant life. If you look at John, in John 4, we have living water, bread of life in chapter 6, light of the world, Jesus says in chapter 9. And here in John 10, Jesus is providing care and shelter in the form of a sheepfold as a shepherd. It is the presence of the shepherd that makes the field safe and nourishing for the sheep. The role of the shepherd is to lead the sheep, providing protection, freedom, especially freedom from fear, and daily sustenance. You notice that abundant life, and I'm so glad that all of you, you know, have such an enlightened understanding of abundant life. You notice that abundant life has little to do with an abundance of wealth or possessions. It has to do with the abundance of something deeper, something more meaningful. All those words that you put up there, being purposeful, being fulfilled, joyful. As Jesus reminded us, God has already promised to take care of all of our needs as attentively as God takes care of the birds of the air, our flowers of the field. And therefore, Jesus reminds us, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think a contemporary theological understanding of abundant life, with all the things that you have said, includes these: fullness of joy and strength for spirit, soul, and body, a purposeful vocation that serves the common good, something you can do that you know makes a difference in people's lives, a sense of belonging in a life-giving community, right? It's hard to just feel fulfilled alone or to find purpose alone. But having a life-giving community and a sense of belonging is important. Delight in sustaining relationships, in friendships, in the people around us. Having that makes a difference. And a sense of security in Christ, no matter what comes, whatever happens tomorrow, feeling that sense of security is important. As Teilhard de Chardin, he's a Jesuit priest, he said, we are primarily spiritual beings having a human experience here on earth. And we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. And that's important for us to think about. Are you a spiritual being having a human experience? Do you agree? Because if you do, then we need to get our priorities right. My question to you is that now we talked about abundant life, you know, what it maybe means to all of us, do you think you're currently living an abundant life? Right now, right at this stage in your life, do you think, yeah, I think I can say I'm living an abundant life. Why or why not, if you want to say, okay? Good, wow, love it. Yeah, people say, yes, yes, almost, okay, that's great, okay? And I think some may say yes, right? Others may say no, all right? And many of us may say yes and no, or like some of you say sometimes, to some extent, right? Yes, somebody says, I'm happy and I love to give. Wow, that's fantastic. Yes, because I love Jesus. Yay. Mostly, all right? Sort of, all right? There's room to grow. We are pilgrims on a journey. Yes, I'm happy where I am in life, but I wish I can do more. Wonderful. Some of us may feel that there are some aspects of our lives that feel like it's abundant, it's flourishing, it's thriving, while there are other areas in our life that feel like a desert, scorched and bare, needing water. So as we think about where we are in our lives right now, and if we are living an abundant life, you know, Jesus was very clear. He was so clear about what his life mission was. His life mission was to make sure that we have life and we have it abundantly. In fact, it's so important that he's willing to lay down his life for us because of that. It was worth dying for us. In John 10, verse 3 and 4, and then verse 11, he was telling the disciples, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice, the voice of the shepherd. And in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am that good shepherd. I am the one who's leading you. I am the one that I want you to hear my voice. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the extent that Jesus would go, that you are worth dying for. The sheep know to whom they belong. They respond to the call of their name. They are comforted by the voice and presence of the shepherd, even when there's danger and confusion. You know, to Jesus, an abundant life, as seen in John 10, is for us to feel cared for and protected. It's for us to be fully sustained spiritually, emotionally, and physically. It is knowing him and his voice intimately. The kind of caring relationship that calls us to be our very best selves, that calls us to live into the abundant life that God has for us. When we choose abundant life, we choose to live intentionally in relationship with God and to live in a way that is life-giving, right? It's life-giving, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. Have you heard of the bummer lamb? Well, you know, every once in a while, an ewe, a female sheep, will give birth to a lamb and reject it. And if the lamb is returned to the ewe, the mother might even kick the poor animal away. And once an ewe rejects one of her lambs, she will never change her mind. These little lambs will hang their heads so low that it looks like something is wrong with their necks. Their spirit is broken. These lambs are called bummer lambs. And unless the shepherd intervenes, that lamb will die, rejected and alone. So do you know what the shepherd does? She takes that rejected little lamb and she brings it into her home. She hand feeds it, right, and keeps it warm by the fire. She will wrap it up with blankets and hold the lamb to her chest so the bummer lamb can hear her heartbeat. And once the lamb is strong enough, the shepherd will place it back in the field with the rest of the flock. But that bummer lamb, that sheep, never forgets how the shepherd cared for them when their mother rejected them. So when the shepherd calls for the flock, guess who runs to her first? the Burma sheep. They know her voice intimately. It is not that the Burma lamb is loved more than all the other sheep. It just knows intimately the one who loves it. So many of us are Burma lambs, rejected and broken at some point in our lives. But Jesus is a good shepherd. He cares for our every need and holds us close to his heart so that we can hear his heartbeat. We may have been broken once, but we were deeply loved by the shepherd. You know, this story is not just a feel-good story about us, but, oh yeah, thank you, Jesus. Right? This story is about all the Burma lambs out there who have been rejected, who are broken, and they need to know the love of the shepherd. They need to know that God loves them too. And sometimes the only way they will know the love of God is through you and me. Sometimes that's the only way. We are the hands and the feet of Christ. And just like our shepherd held us close and restored and healed our beings, we are to go out to help others be restored to abundant life. Jesus showed us that we were worth dying for. And the way I see it, we owe it to Jesus to do two things. We owe it to Jesus to live our lives to the fullest. And we owe it to Jesus to help others live their lives to the fullest. Because he said he came so that we may have life and have it abundantly. But you know what the full verse of John 10:10 says? Let me show it to you. It says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So my question for you is, who do you think the thief is? Who do you think the thief is, okay? And this is a multiple choice question, sorry. All right? So do you think the thief is Satan? Right? Is the thief false teachers? Is the thief anyone or anything that robs us of our peace of mind and well-being? Or is the thief all of the above? Sorry, I need to change the mic because I'm going to touch something. Okay, are we good? Thank you. Okay, so who do you think the thief is? Okay, so you all will get to do that. I put this slide so they can see it because I realize that when it's a mentee, right, it's very, very, very small. So I know, you know, like some of you have very good eyesight, right, but if you're like me, you know, at my age, it's a little bit hard to see all the small words. Okay, so is a thief Satan, false teachers, exploitative power structures, anyone or anything that robs us of our peace of mind and well-being, or all of the above? Fantastic. Ah. So yes, I see a lot of your answers goes to all of the above, right? All of the above, right? Yeah. The thief comes to steal and destroy. The thief is all of the above. It's anyone or anything that takes away our sense of peace and well-being in Christ, including ourselves. Including ourselves. In fact, we are the ones who often sabotage our own peace of mind. And we prevent ourselves from living an abundant life that Jesus came to give us. We sometimes forget that, like the Burma lamb, We have been loved and cared for in a special way by our shepherd. We may have once been rejected, but now we are accepted, loved, and whole in Christ. Never forget that. And sometimes a thief comes in the form of exploitative power structures all around us that create barriers for some people to thrive, and they are unable to live their lives to the fullest. And I think often about our migrant workers here in Singapore. I think about our domestic helpers. And I think about the power structures that surround their lives and their situations, and how even when they want to live their lives to the fullest, even when they want to thrive and have fulfilling lives, sometimes that is a barrier for them. Sometimes. And the unfair power structures make it difficult for many of them to live their lives to the fullest. And the question for us is, how can we use our privilege, our voices, to help create change in these power structures? Jesus reminds us in John 10:16, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. I have other sheep out there. Jesus is saying that there are other bummer lambs out there. I need to gather them in too. And those of you, you and me, who know what it was like once to be rejected and broken, you need to gather them in too. Then it will become one flock, one shepherd. Do you know what brought me to FCC originally? It was the other sheep on God's heart. The other sheep that the mainstream church said they do not belong to the fold. It was the other sheep that was on God's heart. I knew that there were many LGBTQ persons who thought that God couldn't love or accept them. And many had left the church heartbroken. And I could only imagine how much it breaks God's heart to see these bummer lambs out there alone and struggling. And I think I owed it to Jesus, and perhaps we all owe it to Jesus, to invest our lives in the very same thing he came to do, to live our lives to the fullest and to help others do the same. To be like Jesus is to realize our purpose here on earth is to live our lives to the fullest and help others to do the same. And this may include our family, our children, our cell group members, those in this community, our siblings, the bummer lambs who may be outside of this fold at the moment, and especially those in our society who have less access to resources that can help them live full lives. It is the forgotten, the poor, the rejected, the neglected, the exploited. Jesus was very clear what he was living for, and he showed us what was worth dying for. And invariably, it had to do with life, giving life to others. God breathed God's breath into us, each one of us. And with that, we came alive. And we were filled with the love of God right from the beginning. And I believe one of our deep purposes is to breathe life into others, to be life-giving, that they may realize how beloved they are too. I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly. Martin Luther King said, no one really knows why they are alive until they know what they'd die for. Until they know what they'd die for. Recently, I read about Virginia Mollenkott. Virginia Mollenkott, she passed away recently, and she was a Christian evangelical who became an influential scholar of the Bible, finding in it acceptance of LGBTQ people, even as she was shunned for being lesbian. She once wrote, "Although many right-wing Christians despise what I have done with the keys that they put into my hand, the fact is that the same Bible that deeply oppressed me has also been the most vital element in setting me free." Her books on feminist and gay spirituality offered an expansive and inclusive theology that embraced not just women as equals to men, but gay, bisexual, and transgender people too. And she was writing at a time when it was there was a lot of opposition, right? And prominent Christian evangelicals prayed for her destruction, while others say that Virginia Mollenkott actually saved their lives. So in 1978, it was a long time ago, right? Just a few years after I was born. So in 1978, her book, Is the Homosexual My Neighbor? Another Christian View, was published. And it quickly changed the conversation around gay people and evangelicals and helped usher in a new era of gay spirituality, that gays could be Christian too, that they could be spiritual too. And over the years, she heard many gay Christians who said her book had saved them from suicide. In fact, her publisher knew that publishing her book at that time in 1978, it would have resulted in monetary losses. The publisher was very clear about that. It's not going to make money, this book. But he published it anyway. And he said, if one Christian gay person, because of this book, experiences a new sense of self-respect and self-acceptance, a sense of their acceptability in the eyes of God, then this book would have been worth publishing. If just one person experiences that. So though Victoria Mollenkott was shunned for her beliefs and sometimes received death threats, as you can imagine, she would often say, there are some things worth dying for. There are some things worth dying for. What is worth dying for? Love is worth dying for. Love is worth dying for. And that's what Jesus showed us. Michael Curry, who is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, said, "I hope you recognize love as the most powerful force for personal change and for changing the world around us. Yes, we live in scary times. Yes, people are hurting. And yes, people are hurting one another. And we saw what happened in France this past week. But anger is not the key. Revenge is not the answer. The way of love, the love and power of God, is the key to our hope and our future." The message of God is very simple. Love one another. Take care of one another. Take care of creation. And while you're at it, love me. Love God. Do that and you will find your way. And that is the core of the gospel. And that is the only sermon that matters. Jesus said, just as I loved you, love one another. Love is the way. And love is the only way. And love is worth dying for. Those who follow in Jesus' way, follow in the way of unconditional, sacrificial love, and that kind of love can change the world. But how? How do we follow Jesus in the way of love in a world that is profoundly unloving? How? Bishop Curry says that after thinking about it for a long time, he realized that we didn't need a new program or another new spiritual practice to learn how to love like Jesus did. He said, we already have what we need in the tradition of the church going back centuries. For centuries, monastic communities, religious communities, and people of faith have what they call a rule of life, a set of spiritual practices that they where they make a commitment to live in, practices that help them open up the soul, open up the spirit, and help them find their way, a way of throwing yourself into the arms of God. So he introduced the way of love. And he said, this is how we live the way of love in a world that is so profoundly unloving. We turn. Wait, We turn from the unloving life and we choose to follow Jesus. We learn, especially the scriptures and the life and the teachings of Jesus. We pray, dwelling intentionally with God each day. Raymond, can you help me advance the slide? Thank you. We worship, gathering with others to give thanks to God and be nourished by the sacraments. We bless, giving what we have received, sharing our faith with others, serving in the name of Jesus. And next, we go, crossing boundaries of geography and social group and mindset to meet Jesus in other people. And we rest, receiving the gift of God's peace and wholeness. In many ways, I think this explains what Jesus meant when he said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. This is what it means to live an abundant life, learning to walk the way of love. So I want to ask you this question, and this is our final question for this morning. In a better normal, how would you want to live an abundant life? In a better normal now, after all that you have seen and heard this year, how would you want to live an abundant life? What is one thing you would want to do differently? Okay, what's one thing you would want to do differently? And I want to give you some time to reflect on this question. We all know that we've been called to live fulfilling lives, that Jesus came so that we have that, so that we have love, have meaning, have purpose, and that we're able to give of ourselves in a life-giving way to others. So what is one thing you want to do differently in this better normal? God has breathed God's life into you, and God created you in love, for love. And Jesus came so that you and I might have life and have it abundantly. You know, God has given each one of you a unique set of gifts and experience with God. Maybe you were once a bummer lamb, rejected and broken, and perhaps God held you close and reminded you that you were loved, held you and loved you until you were healed and restored. And so thank you so much for all of your responses there. To be kind to myself, yes, I love that. Be kind to ourselves. We are actually so unkind to ourselves a lot of times. And it takes a lot to learn to do that. Compassion, to be kind to people as well as on yourself, excellent, yes. To trust God that God will provide. To make up with folks that have offended, fallen out with. To volunteer with Home in 2021, fantastic, that's lovely. To live with more intention, yes. To don't do things that rob my own peace and keep me separated from God. Yes, it's beautiful. To go and take care of others, yes. To feel their pain and challenges in their lives and work with them. Wonderful. To travel, yes. To stop waiting to treat others the way they treat me. Stop wanting to treat others the way they treat me. And to choose love. fantastic. More resting in God's love. Yes, excellent. To follow in the teachings and the way of Jesus. To live with more intention. Yes. To trust that God will provide. Absolutely. Take more time for myself to reach out to others, to care and love them more intentionally. Learn to see Jesus in others. And that's actually our gift, you know, in a community, that we get to see Jesus in one another. That God's love is embodied, is expressed in one another. And that together we can express God's love even more. It's synergy, right? Even more to the world and the community outside, to all those Bama lambs outside. Yes, please continue sharing, because this will be seen by everyone else. And I want to go back and read this carefully, because I think these are so precious. And I want to pray for you as we enter into this new season, when we call a better normal, that we want to put all these things up there. We want to do it in an intentional way, in a way that says, God, this is where I am, and this is what I want more of. You know, and you have shown me so much this year, and I want to live more intentionally. Right? There are other sheep out there who need to know that God loves them. Will you be God's love to them? A few years ago, Myat mentioned, when he opened this series, Pope Francis and his writing in Fratelli Tutti, which actually basically means on fraternity and social friendship. And it was a very meaningful document, very long, but there was a part of it that fits what we're talking about today. I wanted to share that with you. And Pope Francis says, social love, right? Social love makes it possible to advance towards a civilization of love. That means us going out to love is what's going to create and progress into a civilization of love, to which all of us can feel called. Charity, with its impulse to universality, is capable of building a new world. A new world. No mere sentiment or feeling is the best means of discovering effective paths of development for everyone, especially those who are rejected, those who have less access to the resources that we all have to live a fulfilling life. Social love is a force capable of inspiring new ways of approaching the problems of today's world. Today's world, where we are facing so many difficulties and so many challenges, so much violence, racism. Social love is a force capable of inspiring new ways of approaching those problems, of profoundly renewing structures, social organizations, and legal systems from within. And that's my prayer for us today, that we will go and understand what it means to live our lives to the fullest and to help others live their lives to the fullest, to enable, to help in whatever way is within our power to do. Because love is worth dying for. And that's what Jesus showed us. Amen.
Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and so that you may have it abundantly. We have all we need. Let us prepare for a time of communion. We gather each Sunday at this table, even though at this time we may not all be here physically. The table of God's feast transcends time and space, because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means that you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not need to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. For those of you at home, maybe it's time for you to go and grab the elements, bread and wine or juice or whatever that you can get your hands on at home, and join us in this moment. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
My siblings, to prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins. Will you join me in the prayer of confession together? Most merciful God, we have sinned against you, against our neighbor, and we have not heard the cry of the needy in what we have thought, in what we have said and done, and what we have left undone through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. We are sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Amen. What do you bring to Christ's table?
We bring bread made by many people's work from an unjust world where some have plenty and most go hungry. And now the body of Christ broken for us.
At this table, all are fed and no one is turned away.
Thanks be to God.
What do you bring to Christ's table?
We bring wine made by many people's work from an unjust world where some have leisure and most struggle to survive. And now the blood of Christ poured out for us.
At this table, all share the cup of pain and celebration, and no one is denied.
Thanks be to God. These gifts shall be for us the body and blood of Christ, our witness against hunger, our cry against injustice, and our hope for a world where God is fully known and every child is fed.
Because there's one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. May I invite the stewards to come forward to distribute the elements? Please wait for the stewards to hand over the communion elements to you. This is because of safe distance, this safe management procedures, right? So you don't reach out and hold on to it yourself. They will pass it to you. So please hold on to the elements and we'll all partake it together. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to this supper.
Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed.
Let us now partake of the bread and wine with thankfulness. May I invite you all to stand and join in the prayer of communion. Together,
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. The cups, you may dispose of it as you are leaving later on. There are dustbins at the door. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Now we have come to a segment of worshipping God through our giving. But before that, today is the first Sunday of November, and we would like to give an accountability of where our finances are at, from the church to the congregation on-site and online. So you can see from the projection that currently our general fund and our building fund are behind our projected budget. Right. So over the past, actually throughout the whole year, we have been trying to, we have made many improvements to the hardware, the processors in the church. Because of the changes of the usage and many things actually are broken down. We have actually changed the lights. We have to refresh the equipment and the hardware and additional purchases within the budget to make all these things possible. That's why it's possible to now watch our service on YouTube on HD, okay, 4K, which I heard from some of my friends from church. So all these are made possible because not just the dedication, but also your generous giving to the church. However, right, while we work hard, the leadership work hard to work within the budget given to us, plan out, we also like to continue to encourage everyone to give generously to the building fund, which we are still continuing paying the mortgage for, and also for the general fund, which goes to the expenses, the operation, to make our mission possible. So what are the ways to give? Well, one important way, right, easiest way is like the whole nation now, everybody knows how to scan a QR code. So if not, now is the time to take out a phone, all right, whether you're online or on-site. If you are comfortable in using digital, giving digitally, you can take out your PayNow app, your iBanking app, and then scan either to the general fund and or to the building fund, all right? So for the general fund, it goes to, like I mentioned earlier, it goes to the operation and running to make all these expenses, goes to all these expenses to make our mission possible. And then the building fund goes specifically into paying down the mortgage of the church. So other ways of giving, all right? You can now give by credit card by going to freecomchurch.give.asia, all right? And then it can be a one-time giving or a recurring payment on a monthly basis. So the giving page will be, the first line will be your donation to the church. Second one is not a mandatory giving, that's actually to give.asia, right, in terms of like maybe you want to give them a support. Your name and email, please, to indicate there so that we can be accountable and give you a receipt. That will also help in terms of auditing. Lastly, the privacy setting, which if you want to have your name hidden from a public view. So for while giving you time to prepare your giving, all right, those of who are giving cash or check, all right, the stewards will come forward with the offering bag to receive the offering. All right, for those who are online, if you are like, oh, okay, it's too fast, right? No, not to worry. The links to the giving or finding out more ways to give is actually in the YouTube link, the description. You can actually find the link given there, or simply go to freecomchurch.org/give. So I'd like to invite the stewards to come forward to receive the offering if there's anyone giving by cash or check. If you are paying by check, please make it to Free Community Church Limited. So in terms of giving, as mentioned earlier, that we receive our abundant life through the giving, Christ giving up his life for us, and we are called to do the same. And I love it the best when there was actually a sharing when Pauline said, right, the fulfillment of the living abundant life of love goes beyond the sentiment of knowing that I think I love you, I'm a loving person. But the love is fulfilled when we move into the act of loving. And actually giving is an act of loving, or giving of our life in the form of, maybe it's in terms of the service, or our giving as part of our life to give to the community. So I'd like to invite every one of us to join me in a prayer of thanksgiving for these gifts and offerings. God, our faithful shepherd, life giver, I give thanks to you with these gifts and offering, and also give thanks to you for these gifts and offering. Lord, with this offering, I ask that you give peace, blessing, and abundant life in the life of the giver, and also peace, blessings, and abundant life of those who receive from this giving. For the giver and the receiver are one in you and with you, because we have received this life from you and you are now in us. In this eternal mystery of love, give thanks to you. May we continue to become more and more like you, and pray all this in the holy name of Jesus, and all God's people say, Amen. Thank you. So now we are moving towards the announcement. So once again, my name is Jimmy. I'm your service leader for today. And for those who are new joining us, welcome to Free Community Church, where Free stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. You are welcome. You are loved in this fold. All right, regardless of your economic status, religion, race, gender identity, you are welcome and you are beloved by God. And for the first announcement, right, for those, like I mentioned earlier, if you are new with us, I'd like to invite you to fill out a form so that we can know you and serve you better by going to fcc.la/fccwelcome. And that link is also available in the description of the YouTube channel, or YouTube video. So you can actually click that and open up. You'll open up to another tab for you to fill up the welcome form. Something different in November, usually we'll have our newcomers meeting at the last fourth Sunday of the month. However, due to some of the organizational changes, because we have behaving our AGM and et cetera, we will be moving the newcomers meeting to the first week of December. So we're combining the newcomers meeting for November and December into the first week of December, because the last week, so fourth Sunday, happens to be our Christmas Sunday. So just please take note. And if you are interested, if you are fairly new with us, you'd like to be part of our newcomers meeting, please email info@freecomchurch.org. For the next announcement, this announcement actually has been going on for months, but something has changed, right? So the one thing is actually the post-service rooms, which is actually the live prayer and the live discussion room, will actually end on the 8th of November. I mean, after next week, the live prayer room and the live discussion room will be discontinued. However, for today and next week, we'll still have that. And for the live discussion room, which actually we come together to discuss about insights and thoughts we have, or questions we have about the sermon, for those attending on-site, there's actually a room set up at the back of the church in the activity room where that will be made for the live discussion for those on-site and both online. So for you have not, those of you who have attended before or have not attended and interested to talk about whatever was shared in the sermon, we encourage you to join us right at the back of the church in the activity room for the live discussion. So for pastoral support, we are still giving that. Our church of our pastors offer counseling service to those in need of support, whether emotional support or sometimes you may be having trouble in reconciling your faith and sexuality. You can reach out to us at freeinfo@freecommonchurch.org. Right? Sorry, I actually missed out one part. Not just for the post-service room that will be discontinued, the pre-service chit-chat session on Zoom that we usually have before the service will also be discontinued after the 8th of November. All right, so that's for everyone to take note of. All right. So for the prayer meeting on every Wednesday, that's still going on. That will be on Zoom. And you can access the Zoom on every Wednesday at 8 p.m. via fcc.la/fccprayse. All right, that is P-R-A-Y-S. Next, many of you have already joined our broadcasting list. That's why you get notified. For those online, maybe some of you have not joined our WhatsApp broadcast list. So to join us, right, all you need to do is to save the number 93663818. Send your name to this number, all right? Please ensure that this number is being saved on your phone so that when the broadcast message is sent out, announcements are sent out during the weekday, you'll be able to receive them. Now, very obvious, I repeat many times at the beginning of service and still now, that FCC is now live, on YouTube. So we really want to encourage you to spread the word for us, help us to witness to God's love for the community, especially for the marginalized or sexual minorities. So you can catch us now live on Sundays. Watch it anytime thereafter. Subscribe. Most importantly, I must subscribe. Okay? You watch already. I'm watching you. Please subscribe and click on the bell button so that you get notified on any of the new posts that's coming up or we have posted. All right? So thank you for doing that for us because my target for myself is to, because as of yesterday, we have about 91 subscribers. So we are working towards having 100 or past 100 subscribers after today's service. Great. More than 100 already. Yay! Okay, I can go home already. Just kidding. All right. Very importantly, now we are coming very excited for Beta Course. This is the fourth run of Beta Course the church is running. Actually, I participated in one of the Beta Course and really helped me in my spiritual journey or reformation of my faith as I got reintegrated or be plugged into the FCC, right? So, Beta Course, please join us. Please sign up today if you haven't, because the first the kickoff session, right, will start tomorrow, and that will be moderated by Miak. And it will be built around the whole Beta Course on the first 7 chapters of Living the Questions, the wisdom of progressive Christianity. So if you want a different take, you want to understand, what our theological basis, how do we approach scriptures so that we may live abundant life, come and join us, all right? It's every Monday for the next 7 Monday from 8 to 9:30 p.m. So something about why Beta Course, right? If you have questions about Christianity, things are afraid to ask, right? Then you can come over here because there's no question that is like too inappropriate. Or sometimes some churches may ask, you can't really get a question out of that. So for open space whereby you want to deconstruct your faith and then relearn something new about Christianity, okay, please join the course. So the course facilitator, not other than our Reverend Miak Siu, who will be doing this. I think this is your first run of Beta, right? With the Beta. So please contact Angela via 2005.music@gmail.com. So Angela will be the so-called assistant in terms of registering those who are interested in joining Beta course. Thank you. So last but not least, we are still having aka.ms/fcclinefeedback. So we are asking for your feedback to us. Yeah. So the link have not changed. It's still aka.ms/fcclivefeedback. the production team, the pastors, and all involved in the Sunday service, right? We come together every Monday post-Sunday service to review the service that we have conducted on-site and online. And your feedback continues to help us to improve and be better. That's why you see it like suddenly we go to YouTube, we have 4K, the way we are set up. These are built due thanks to the feedback that's given to us. So continue to give us your feedback, even if or you have something good to say, no compliments, please give it to us. We are more than happy to receive them. Yeah. This is the most important part. I started off my joke with, right, at the beginning. The call for volunteers. Time to die for your church. Oh, oops, so sorry. we are actually having fun. You can see that, you know, like the Sunday service production team is actually a fun bag of fun, right? So after this better normal, right, we have been able to consolidate our ministry, Sunday service ministry together, and now we have a production ministry that's made of various different roles. So if you're like keen to know like, hey, what do y'all do on Sunday service? Because like, don't have to be too worried. Sign up like, oh, okay, I must immediately start serving. No. Well, if you're interested, just email to us at info@freecommchurch.org, and we will actually organize a briefing for you. And then for interested volunteers, we'll actually bring you on board to have a tour around how do we go about conducting or planning and even executing our Sunday service and the different roles available for your different gift. For people have different gifts and talents and, you know, your inclination. So come and join us to see, you know, like if this is something you like to do. So don't be too worried, all right? Although I want you to serve immediately, but that is not the way to do it. So we'll actually give you plenty of time. We'll give you a lot of training, onboarding, and OJT. So never be afraid to just, you know, put your name down, email to us if you're interested to find out more, all right? We will definitely not like chain you to the production room and then make you like click the button and things like that. Don't, so not to worry, all right? So is this the last slide for the announcement? So as we are closing with the last song before the benediction, all right? Just a reminder, after the benediction for the folks on site, please remain seated so that we will wait for the dismissal in an orderly fashion. So now I'd like to invite all of us to join our worship team on one last song before our closing so that we worship God and encounter Him as we go into the new week.
After the pride, after the fall, the hands of mercy opened wide. After the rain, after the flood, you set your promise in the sky. The God who was and is to come has been the same for me. After all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant.
You've never given up.
Stand to receive the benediction.
Constant.
Jesus said, there's no greater love than this,
constant,
than a person lay down their life for their friends. So it may not be a literal laying down our lives, but may we go out into the world finding ways to give of ourselves to others, not counting the cost, just like how Jesus did not count the cost, so that we bring love into the world and the world is transformed by love that comes from God through us. So go in love and peace always. Amen.
Well, we have come to the end of the service, and thank you everyone on-site and online for joining us. For my siblings and friends who are joining us over YouTube and Teams, have a wonderful week ahead, and I'm going to see you all next week, whether, you know, like, just look out for the, if you're... Oh, so for those who are joining us online, right, if you want to be with us on-site, look out for the link to sign up for the broadcast list, and then quickly sign up. And then I'll see y'all, whether it's on-site or online, next week. Thank you.